It's good to be here.
Amen.
Good to be with the people of God. And it's God's mercy that we're here and we thank God. Let's get our Bibles and go to the Word of God and see what else God has for us. He always has a word for his people. And we ask you to receive it. Don't think about whether you need it or not. You need it if God sent it. So just receive it and know that God sends his word to help us. And without him, we can do nothing, saints, and do nothing at all. Luke chapter 13. Luke the 13th chapter. And we're going to look at the 24th verse. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. 24th verse. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. We thank God for the reading of that 24th verse. And the Lord has placed in my heart to preach on this subject, the straight gate. The straight gate. As you look at that 24th verse, again, it says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive. In other words, God is telling us in his word that we are to labor fervently. Yeah. If you're not saved, you need to be concerned about it. You need to be seeking the Lord. And you need to not just take it casually. You know, if you're not saved, really, you ought to be praying every day, saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, save me. And the Lord doesn't want us to just let it be casual every now and then when trouble comes. You know, it's interesting. People can go along and then just do whatever they want to do. And then when trouble comes, then they want to call on the Lord. Amen. But I'm telling you today that you need to, as the Bible let us know, we can call on him. And if you're not saved, you need to keep calling on the Lord and striving with all your might to go into the straight gate, because that's what the Bible says. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Straight gate. Let's look at the straight gate. Let's see how we get an understanding of what God is trying to get us to see. The straight gate, it's a narrow gate. It's narrow. Keep a marker on Luke 13th chapter, but I want you to turn with me over to Matthew, the 7th chapter, because we're going to find out, God is going to give us some more information about this straight gate that he wants us to enter in. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. All right, as we look at those two verses, we see here that the Word of God is telling us there are two gates. There are two gates, and let's back up to that 13th verse again. And he says that there's a wide gate, and there's a broad way. And it, you take the wide gate and the broad way, it leads to destruction. It leads to eternal damnation. It leads to hellfire. But look what the scripture is saying. It says that it's a wide gate. That's a broad way. When we think about, well, let's see this. Say it this way. The wide gate is this. For you love the world. Yeah. Well, the Bible tells us the world consists of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The wide, broad way and the wide gate is where Satan blinds the mind of people. And then also that wide gate and the broad way equates to where people say there are many ways to heaven, which is a false religion. Amen. And that is what God is talking about. There are a lot of people following the ways of the world. The Son of Man enjoys the sin that he's in. And many of them, they know what they're doing is not right, but they don't want to turn it loose because Satan has a hold on them. And then they sometimes say that, you know, well, I'm not the only one. Just look at this and look at that. And then sometimes they appoint somebody out in the church, which is a disgrace because the church, true Christians should be the light of the world. We should not be a stumbling block to people. But the people who are on that wide way, they realize that they got a lot of company. And they realize, I'm not the only one. But let me tell you, God tells us that we're not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. Amen. Because you walking down the death row, I'm not want to go along with you. Amen. So that's what that wide gate and the broad way equates to. And that the Bible says that many go that way. You know, you hear people sometimes, different people who are in the spotlight, they'll say, I give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. And then after whatever that program was, then they go to the after party. Amen. And the after party is where they drinking, using dope, fornicating, all these things, but they give honor to our Lord. God is not accepting your void, empty words. If you're going to give honor to God, you got to live right. A lot of people talk about going to heaven and love God, but the Bible makes it very plain. If you love him, if you love God, you got to do what he says. So there are a lot of people, and we see it. We see it because the life they live, you know, the Bible says your sin's going to find you out. Yeah. And a lot of people are being uncovered. They're being uncovered as not being true. They've been talking about God and talking about they love God, and that's their public life, their private life, they're living another way. But let me tell you, you might deceive people. And if you live alone, you're not going to deceive people all the time either. Because you're known by your fruit. Amen. It's going to come out. You can't hide it. So God is saying that many are going that way. But he's telling us that we need to enter into the straight gate. So let's look at the straight gate, what God is trying to help us to see we need to be endeavoring to do. The straight gate, as I said, it's a narrow gate. It's a narrow way, because verse 14 says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. the straight gate leads to eternal life. And in order to go to heaven, you got to have eternal life. You got to be born again. You must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But the Bible says that few find it. Out of all the people in the world, there are a lot of different churches, a lot of different religious things, but few, when you look at the total number, are really preaching the truth of the gospel. They are being taught the doctrine of men, many ways to heaven. That's not according to the Bible, but that's what people are believing. And folks, when you don't get the truth and they let you do all any kind of way and you don't tell them that it's wrong, they're going to continue to do wrong. And even when you tell some folks what's right, they're going to do wrong, but at least they've been told the truth. And the choice is going to be between them. Do you want the wide gate or do you want the narrow gate? Choose ye this day. And the Bible makes it plain. If you follow one, you're going to destruction. If you follow the other, you'll have eternal life. The straight gate. There's only one way, not many ways to heaven. The straight gate is a narrow gate. Jesus is the only gate or door to eternal life. The Bible says Jesus is the only way to eternal life. So right there, the folks who are on the wide road where they say there are many and they worship all these, the moon, the stars, and animals, and they're within themselves, and they think that they can do whatever they want to do after I just say that I'm a Christian, but they don't have the desire to, they don't have the power, let me say it that way, to live a Christian life, because you got to be saved in order to Christian to have a Christian life. The Bible and Romans say that they can't live it. They don't have the power to live it. We can't live a righteous life unless we have the Spirit of God in us. The Holy Ghost empowers us to do what God says. The Holy Ghost empowers us to be a follower of Jesus. So there's only one way. And that's why God said the straight way. It's only one way. Not many way. Not many. Just you hear that, you know they don't have truth. And Jesus is the only door. He's the only gate. Let's go to John. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I thank God for his word. He makes it very plain. John the 10th chapter. And I'm reading verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is that narrow gate. He is that narrow door. In other words, when you become a child of God, you become a follower of Jesus. And we have to obey and walk and live the life that he commands. And he will bring unity. All born-again believers, when they were born from above, we believed in Jesus as being the Savior of the world. That he is the door. The scripture let us know. Let's look at that 27th verse. He says, 10:27. The scripture says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus is the door. We enter into the kingdom because the scripture says no man can come to the Father except by me, except by Jesus. If you want to be saved, you have to be a believer in Jesus, in his virgin birth, in his dying on the cross, on his resurrection. You got to believe that he was, when he was raised, our sin debts have been paid for. And that when we have faith in him and go to him and ask him to forgive us when we repent, turn from our evil ways, the life of sin we've been living, and go to Jesus and ask him to forgive us of our sins because we believe he paid our sin debts. The Bible said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Jesus is the only way into the kingdom. No other way. The way to eternal life is Jesus. And there are no exceptions. No exceptions. No other way. No animal. No moon. No stars. Amen. No sacrifice in your life. Amen. No singing in the choir and coming to church every day and doing good for people. No other way. You can't work your way into salvation. Amen. Salvation is a gift. And it's a gift that comes from God. And the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Amen. He saved us. Jesus saves us. You can't work your way into heaven. Amen. People think by doing good deeds and passing out some money to the poor and whatever, you're going to get some points from heaven. No, God says it's not by works of righteousness. It's according to his mercy. He saved us by washing of the Holy Ghost, renewing of the Holy Ghost. You want to be saved? You got to come to Jesus. No one else can save you. Can't save yourself. Because the sin debt that God required payment for sin is death. We can't die in sin and go to heaven. Because how you die is how you're going to meet the Lord. So if you die a sinner, when Jesus comes back to judge the world and all the graves and the sea will have to give up the dead, and on that day when you have to stand before him, you will not be able to be saved. You got to be saved before you leave this world. And I'm here to let you know that the way has been made. Amen. Jesus is our way into the kingdom. Jesus died for us. Amen. He suffered. Let me say that because I don't want it to be taken lightly. Jesus suffered. The way they treated Jesus, he suffered. Amen. They whipped him. They spat on him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They ridiculed him. They did all those things to Jesus. They slapped Jesus. And Jesus endured it all. Before he got there in their hands, he was praying to the Father. And he said, Lord, if this bitter cup can pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus came to this world to die for our sins, to make a way for us to hear God say, well done, when our time is up in glory, to give us the assurance when we believe in Jesus and he cleanses us from unrighteousness and he gives us his gift of the Holy Ghost. and the Father and the Son come to take their abode in us. And when they come to live in us, look at what a wonderful gift God has given to us. A body made of clay, the Holy Spirit of God indwells us. And he lives in us forever. Thank God, thank God. He, with the Holy Ghost, he lives within us. Isn't that a blessing? Think of who we were, we were without a God, without a people, but God so loved us that even when we were his enemies, he sent Jesus here to suffer and to die, to make a way for us to be delivered from the bondage of sin. We ought to rejoice every time we think about it, because when we were under the authority of the devil, we did things we knew we shouldn't have been doing, but we had no power. Satan had that kind of power over us. We did wrongly. We knew it was wrong. But thank God one day Jesus came into our lives and he changed us. And then he's given us a commandment that we don't obey the devil anymore. Jesus says, resist the devil and he'll flee from us. I'm so glad, saints, that we have one that loves us so much. And he's given us his assurance that he'll be with us always, even to the end of the world. Didn't he just tell us that we're in that 29th verse? Listen to what he says. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that assurance that once God saves us, we have eternal salvation? Because nobody can cause us or take us out of God's hand, or cause us to get back in sin. Mama, daddy, sister, brother, nobody. When God saves us, we are secure. Our salvation is secure because God keeps us. We do not keep ourselves. We don't have the power to keep ourselves. It's the Holy Ghost in us. It's God in us who keeps us. And nobody can cause us to go back into sin. I thank God for security. I thank God that I know that I'm saved. And I know that I have a place in heaven. Because when God saved us, see, our names were recorded in the book of life. And he said it wouldn't blot it out. Thank God he assures us. We're not concerned about that other place. Because God is taking care of that. Yes. He took us off that road. Yes. And he put us on the straight and narrow. Oh, thank God, saints. There are no exceptions. No exceptions. Yes. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes. He didn't say, I am a way. I am the way. No exception. See, if he said he is a way, then it could have been this could get you into heaven, and that could get you into heaven, and this would get you into heaven. No, he said the way. No other way to get to heaven except through Jesus. Jesus is the entry into the kingdom. We must believe in Jesus. No exception. Don't listen to anybody tell you anything other than that. Let's go back to Luke, the 13th chapter. Because I want us to continue to see here what Jesus has for us. Let's look at Luke, the 13th chapter. And this time we want to look at verse 25. No, back to 24, because there's something else in that 24 first. It says, let me read it again. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. I want to look at that just for a little while. It says, they're going to seek to enter in and shall not be able. Why? That's the question. Why? It didn't say that. See, they want to go to heaven. That's what this has reference to. They want to enter into heaven. But the Bible says they shall not be able. And I asked the question, why? The answer is in verse 25. Let's go to the next verse. When once the master of the house is risen up, and have shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. So the answer to the question is why they will not be able to enter in, because the door has been shut and it's too late. Remember Noah and the ark? When God shut the door, all who were not in the ark, they lost their lives. 8 souls were delivered. When God shut the door, it's too late. Nobody can open it. You remember the foolish virgins? They went to meet the bridegroom. They didn't have enough oil. And when the bridegroom, it was announced he was coming, their lamps were out. And they wanted some oil from the wise virgin. But they said, no, you go buy it. We won't have enough for you and me. And while they went away, the bridegroom came. And all that were ready went in, and the door was shut. And when they got back, the bridegroom had come, taken those who were ready in. He closed the door, and they found out that they were on the outside knocking, trying to get in. But they were too late. And Isaiah, the 55th chapter, the 6th verse, tell us to seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen. Seek the Lord. Now is the time. Now is the day. Not delaying. We don't know if we'll have another chance to say, Lord, have mercy. We don't know if God's warning you and you know that you're not right and you're going to put it off again. We can't put God off. We don't know if we have tomorrow. Amen. But I'm here to let you know, living for God is the best life you can live. Amen. It's the devil who's blinded your mind. You think that I can't do this and I can't do that. Do you know if you talk to a true child of God and you start telling them what you can't do, you know they're going to say, I'm glad I can't. But I can't do it. I'm glad I can't. Amen. Because when I was doing those things, I was not a child of God. But now God has given me power to resist the devil. God has changed me. The scripture says that when we become born again, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Thank God that I'm a new creature. But let me tell you, this is not our home. We're just passing through here. All that we can't do. But let me, the truth of the matter is this. All the things that you can't do are the very things that will keep you out of heaven. But the devil has blinded the minds of folks so they don't understand. They think they're having a good time. But when we are born again, we realize that the very things that we find pleasure in, the pleasures of the world and all these things, those were the very thing that God told us to stay away from. And thank God that we can now stay away from it, and we have no regrets that we're not living that life anymore. We're living a better life. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Amen. And folks just think that they can just go day by day by day and keep saying, well, I know I need to be saved, but you better say, Lord, save me. You need to cry, say, Lord, I'm living a life that's not pleasing to you. Please save my soul. So the answer to why the door is shut. And then they were outside knocking, saying, Lord, Lord, verse 25, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. The Bible declares in Luke 6:46, he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say. True born children of God, obey God. If you love me, keep my commandments. True born, Holy Ghost filled spirit people of God, do what God say. We have the power to obey him. Because the scripture to tell us it doesn't matter what the obstacle, whatever comes our way, we can look to God and know that he's promised us, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can live right. I can treat people right. I don't have to try to even the score when folks come against me. I don't have to tell bad things on folks that I know about them because they've been talking about me. I can pray for them and ask God to help them and ask God to save them. And I can forgive them in my heart. Can I get an amen? Because when I'm a child of God, he makes a difference in our lives. And we're so glad that he has changed us. I'm glad that we are who we are now and not who we used to be. Amen. Glad that we can obey God's word. Yeah. So it says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And he's going to have to tell him, I don't know you. Amen. That's going to be a sad day. You know, the hypocrite that goes to church every Sunday and say that he is a child of God. And as I say, he has a private life that he thinks is not going to be uncovered. But it's not as private as he thinks it is, because the Bible declares that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. They're so concerned about deceiving people that they forget about there's a holy God who sees and knows everything. God knows our thoughts afar off. When you were planning to do evil, God knew about your plans. When you went to do evil, God was there when you got there, because the God we serve, he's everywhere all at the same time. There are no secrets from God. And when you think you can get in the dark and do your evil, I want you to know the Bible says that light and darkness are the same to God. He doesn't need light like we need to see in physical darkness. God sees spiritually. He knows everything. Can I get an amen? People need to go to church and know what the Bible says, because the devil has deceived people. They are being tricked by the devil. The devil is a deceiver. The devil is a liar. And some of those folks who give an honor to God not living right, it's because sometimes they are dealing with church folks who are doing the same things that they are doing, and they don't have an example. God wants us to show a difference between holy and unholy. And when you're saved, you will. Amen. Just finished singing the song, I'm going to have to walk by myself. I walk by myself because of this, because I'm never by myself, because the Holy Ghost is in me, and he's always with me. That means I might not have earthly people who agree with me, but if I know what I believe according to the word of God is right, I have the assurance that I'm never alone, because he said he'll never leave us. He's always with us, and I thank God. So rendering, you're knocking and saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he's going to say, I don't know you. Yeah. Now, think about somebody come knocking on your door, your physical door at your house, and you don't know them. You're not going to open the door. Amen. You might talk to them through the door. If you can see them and you don't know them, you don't even go to the door. Okay. Amen. So here, if we don't let somebody in our house and we don't know them, but what about God? Amen. If you're not his child, he doesn't know you. Amen. And you knocking on the door is not going to get you entry. Let's look at that 26th verse. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in our presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. In other words, they've been rendering lip service. Tell my God is good, and he is. They say, I love God, but they don't if they're not obeying him. They say, I'm on my way to heaven, but if they haven't been born again, they're not on their way to heaven. Amen. Some folks want to have a physical a shake-up. But let me tell you, it's not about feeling. It's about the word of God. Amen. We thank God. You look at these rock stars, and you see these folks who, they got a feeling, too. Amen. They get lifted up and get caught up. You know, we can come to church, and the choir sing a good song, and you clap your hand, you start thinking, you can feel good. But when you finish feeling good, and even if you're shouting, when you sit down, you better make sure that you are holy. And don't dance in iniquity. Can I get an amen? Don't be deceived. You know whether or not you're saved. You know whether or not you're living right. Amen. And don't come in church and try to impress anybody, because it's not about us. It's about Jesus. You need to please Jesus. He's the one that died for your sins. Matthew, the 15th chapter. I'll be back to 13th of Luke, but I want to read this passage in Matthew chapter 15. 15th chapter of Matthew, and verse 8 reads, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. God wants our hearts, saints, not lip service. Amen. That's what a lot of folks are doing. They're just running lip service. They're just talking about God and talking about church and talking about, and some of them know scripture too. Amen. And they'll even throw out some scripture, but they can't live it, because they haven't been born again. God wants us to totally surrender him. Love him with our heart, soul, and mind, and everything that was in us. Yeah. That's the kind of service God wants for us. God wants us to be obedient to him. That's the service that God wants. Back to Luke 13, 27th verse, it says, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. How sad. Come to the end of your life. Have been playing the hypocrite. Telling lies on the Lord. I mean, he's your Savior, and you've never been born again. Living a life of sin. And then come to church and act like all is well. But the day is coming when you're going to have to answer to a holy God. And you will be without excuse. People say, if God is so good, why is there a place of punishment? There's a place of punishment because the good God that should have sent us to the place of punishment, he made a way for us not to go to the place of punishment. And if you decide that you want to stay on the wide road, don't blame God. Amen. Salvation is available. Jesus died so that we could live. And you're not going to be saved as long as you're in denial. Yes. You got to own up who you are. I'm a sinner. We are born sinners. Yes. And because we are born sinners, we sin. And we're going to keep sinning until God saves us. And when he saves us, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He comes to live in us. And he causes us to live right. And the only way we can receive that, we got to come to Jesus. He is the door. He is that straight gate. And no one can come to the Father except by Jesus. The straight gate. Will everyone please stand?